Hello. Okay, so I think we are here. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. Joseph Atkashindi Andreas, and we are coming to you live from our studio on Eagle FM. And this is Life Lessons. Yes, so we are very happy to be here this evening. And I just want to really take the time to thank our guest. We have a very, 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 very serious guest in the studio today. And he is going to be talking to us, and we are going to have the whole 2 hours to talk together on a very, very important topic, and that is technical and vocational education and how it can help to create jobs in a developing economy such as Namibia. Okay, so let me just, without further ado, give a chance to our guest to introduce himself and just tell us who he is, where he's from, you know, what he has been doing, and how what he's doing can also help towards the development of our country and the creation of jobs and the provision of education and all these great things that are happening. Okay, sir, I think you are live.
No, thank you very much, that Andreas, and yes, delighted to be here.
Yes, sir.
At Eagle FM, and good evening to your audience. Yes. And audience of this esteemed Eagle FM. Mm-hmm. My name is Yode Heita Kambuta, and it's a pleasure being here.
Okay.
So very delighted to be here. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Maybe you can just tell us a little bit about yourself in the first place. Who are you? Who is Mr. Kambuta?
Oh.
Yeah.
No, Mr. Kambuta is Mr. Kambuta.
That's a nice man.
Yeah. No, no. This is me. Kambuta is actually a surname.
Yes.
Yeah. The Christian name is Yehude, and they pronounce it Yehude or Eude.
It's the first time I'm hearing that name. Actually.
Yeah. Yehude. That is my name, and my African name is Heita.
Uh-huh.
Heita derived from Oita.
Yes, yes.
Eita, that's right. Oita. Mm-hmm. Yes. So Yehude Heita Kambuta. That is me.
Yes.
I'm from the north. Kalongo, some Baja men here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Kalongo is near Umbelanti where I'm from.
Yeah. I think it's 60 Ks or something, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm grown up there, raised by a formidable grandmother.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's normal in Africa, as a young boy at a village.
Yeah.
You are introduced or nurtured in the way of moral, ethics, cultured, where you do all what we all do in Africa at a village, looking after kettles, goats, sheep, if you have sheep, chickens, donkeys, horses. Yes.
Everything.
Everything. Milking the cows, going in the mahangu field, and at a very tender age, and at the same time go to school. Mm-hmm. That you are nurtured and groomed in that way to become a very strong man who is able to grow up and be able to look after the family and look after the country.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's nice. It's good that you mentioned about looking after cattle. There was one year I bunked school. I couldn't go to school for 1 year just to look after cattle.
Yeah, 1 year. Yeah, someday go for 2 years.
What are those things that I think it was my favorite thing to do, because you did so much. You look after cattle, you hang out with the big boys, and you know, you fight, you swim, you know, unauthorized and things
all
like that.
All that. Yeah, it happened. Some people, they go for 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why back then people are able to complete school when they are very big. You know what? There's someone 16, 17, and they complete school and then they go to varsity or TVET.
Yeah.
Back then, you are in the class with someone who's 26 or 30.
It's true.
Yeah. Because of those circumstances. Yeah.
I remember. Yeah. I think it was in 2002. I had a guy, because I went to UNAM. I finished. Went to become a teacher at David Chahama Secondary School.
Yeah. Okay.
So there was a guy who was older than me in the class. You know, I was now a young teacher. I was 24, I think, and he was like 28.
Yes.
You know, he was in grade 11 and 12 like time. So I taught him grade 11 and 12. So I was like, but I never came to ask him like. Yeah. How did it happen that you are at this age and you are here now? Yeah.
And then you are with the juniors. Yeah. It's always like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Oh, that's good. Okay. So, how did you get, you end up getting into technical and vocational education and training?
Yeah, but particularly in hospitality and tourism.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that is my specialist.
Yeah.
As always, in the north, we grew up with a lot of kids, and we have with our grandmother. Mm-hmm. The grandmother, and she taught us everything, and even cooking. Mm-hmm. We didn't have big sisters. They come and go, Some of them were in our hostels. But most of the time you are there, and I was one of the big boy with other kids in the at home, and your grandmother teach you. She will teach you everything. So even cooking, I actually started cooking at home, just learn how to make the stipend, this yeah. ordinary stipend food of. Omahangu and Ombidi, Ekaka. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you learned it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that all started. And you, even when you go to school, you come back, you find sometimes she have cooked, or sometimes she's in the field, and she did not get time to prepare the food. But then you go in there, collect the firewood and all that, and prepare for everyone. And then when I came to Windhoek,
yeah.
I continue. I think I did. Grade 11 and grade 12 here in Windhoek, at all other places. And then during that time, when I was in grade 12, we used to have holiday jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that holiday job, I was introduced by my friend. He was my classmate. And we used to stay together in the same street in Van Heda.
Okay.
Yeah, Messi Street. I remember very well.
Messi Street. Yeah.
David okay. Kondo. David Kondo. He was a very naughty guy.
Yeah.
And so he was doing some part time.
Yeah.
At the country club, and they said, no. Yeah. Listen, you can make some money. Mm-hmm. Instead of being here to Shakati service, doing this jackpot things, gambling. yeah. You can make a decent some money.
Okay.
So he introduced me to country club.
Uh-huh.
And. And I think that is how it started. And after that, I just fell in love with the profession.
Okay.
Yeah, so you go to school, and then the weekend, you go to country club, and it was really commercial business at the time. And you have conferences.
Yeah.
It's dinners and workshop, and you have to set up. I was working at the conference department.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you get exposed to... The fundamental of hospitality and tourism, practically, it. Yeah, and so that's how I started, and I just fall in love with it. And then from there, after grade 12, you work here and there again in the restaurant, in the hotels, and then I said, Ash,
yeah,
I think I should further my career now.
For studies, yeah.
Yeah, for okay. study.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we went to school. Yeah. I think there was opportunity offered by the government,
mm-hmm.
yeah, to go and study in African country. We went to Zimbabwe.
Okay.
At the Bulawayo Polytechnic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the Bulawayo Polytechnic, okay. That is where we went. Uh-huh. Quite a number of us. And it helps to go through that channel of a career pathway. Because
mm-hmm.
here you are in grade 12, you are doing part-time working at a country club.
Yeah.
And then after post-grade 12,
yeah,
that time it was grade 12.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Post-grade 12, you work in a restaurant here and then and all that. And then you go for study, and it's in line of what you have been doing.
Yeah,
it was comfortable. It was not mm-hmm. comfortable, but at least I have a foundation of a practical how to do it.
Yeah.
I then just have it to focus on the theory reading. In Zimbabwe, the education system was very very different.
Okay,
they use
more practical.
Yeah, more practical, more theory. They use the Cambridge system mm-hmm. back then.
Yeah, and so.
Everything you learned, everything about the foundation and the concept of hospitality and tourism, the roles, and you've been there. We stayed there quite a long time, I think mm-hmm. almost 6 years, doing hospitality and also studying for TVET instructors
mm-hmm.
at the same time. I was doing both concurrently, so that I be able to come back to my motherland, to my country, and become an instructor and start up something. I have never dreamed of coming back to look for a job. No. I started just thinking there.
But that's the thing with the Zimbabwean education system. Yeah. It actually wires you for your to work for yourself,
yeah,
or to start your own thing,
you know? It opened up your mind.
Yeah.
You were in the street. You graduated from the University of Life. And then you segment that one with now the technical education.
Yeah.
So while you are there, you are reading. There was a competition of reading a lot in Zimbabwe. It was like that. Back then, remember Zimbabwe was, I think 90 or 95% of the people were literate. They could do read and write. And everywhere you go, you meet. Mm-hmm. Out of the three people, one have a master, one have a degree.
Yeah.
And so you are with those people in the group.
Yeah.
And then if you are smart, you then have to get them to become your friend.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember, bed of a same feather flock together. So
yeah.
So your mind open up, and it has unleashed my potential, inner potential.
Yeah.
And then the ideas of coming up with a business is also started today. And then you talk to quite a number of lecturers there, and the who is assisting me and all that. And when I came back, yes, I try here, and then I started, and today here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
that's a good one. Okay, so so when was the hospitality school, your hospitality school started? Like, when did it start? And,
thank you very
how
much.
How was the journey?
Yeah, no, the journey is all individual have different journeys.
Yeah.
The path that we have traveled.
Yeah.
The challenges, I call it the challenges. Back then I used to say problems we faced, but now as you grown up and become a certain with life,
mm-hmm.
you call it challenges. Yeah. The challenges are different. You want to have to be resilient,
mm-hmm.
and overcome those challenges.
Yeah.
We registered, it's actually a company, it's in the 2012.
Okay.
That's when we registered. No, just walking from Katutura. There was no even a beep at that time at Oshakati
Service. Yeah.
No, it's was true. It was just in town.
Yeah.
And we have to walk. From Katutura to town.
Yeah,
and then you go to this office, Social Security. You go to submit a document, Employment Equity Commissioner. You go there, you do that. 2012, and then this and that, and you 2012, and then the operation itself is only started in 2016.
Okay.
Yeah, 2016.
Took long.
So you're looking for capital.
Yeah, that's the biggest challenge.
To start. Mind you, you start the business, you know, hospitality and tourism. And if you look at the business description, you have a TVET training. You want to do TVET training.
Yeah.
And for TVET, 80% is competence-based education. It means it's a hands-on.
Hands-on,
hands-on practical skills, stuff. Practical. Mm-hmm. So you ought to have training equipment.
Yeah.
And this training equipment, you need funds, you need capital.
Yeah.
And here you are. You are knocking at the doors here and there, mm-hmm. and you're just as a boy from the village. You have no security.
It's true.
When you knock at this door and say the bank, you don't even imagine commercial banks.
Yeah, it's true.
Not a commercial bank, no. They say, do you have a security?
Mm-hmm.
You study here accounting and you understand. So, do you have land? No, I don't have. Do you have money invested somewhere? No. Do you have an asset? No, I don't have.
That's a big challenge.
Yeah, so then they ask you, so if we lent you money, how are you going to pay back?
Pay back, yeah.
And then you give them their strategy, how you're going to raise the fund.
Yeah.
But they say, but what if?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They have to be safe.
Yeah, yeah. What if?
They have to be safe for themselves.
It's just a challenge. That's why it took so long.
Yeah.
Yeah, then at some time you get some capital to start, which is actually a little, because at that time,
yeah,
it's not the same as nowadays. Nowadays you have a youth fund available. Which I think with DBN and the government right now is really doing something, and there's a fund that is there.
Yeah,
and there's not much of security that is needed.
Mm-hmm.
Back then there were no these things, so you request for 2 million and then you end up getting 500.
It's true.
Half a million.
It's true.
And I said, so where am I going to get? the rest to start. So you then have to strategize to say, okay, let me focus on the items that I can start with so the school can start at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you look at, you understand very well the market that, you know, I need to start and then at least get registered with the Namibian Qualification Authority and then NTA. Because they will never register you if you don't meet the criteria.
That is the thing.
Yeah, you must meet the criteria. The policy, their policies are very clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you got to acquire some equipment here and there. Mm-hmm. And it's a challenge, but I think one ought to go in there, you need to be resilient.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be focused. Know the reason why you started. Mm-hmm. You have aims and objective.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you needed to implement. Mm-hmm. And you get inspired by others who have been there. That time you also know the people went for liberation, struggled.
Yeah.
And no, they were not insured if they will come back. No one insured their life.
Exactly. That's a very good analogy.
Actually. Yeah, you. In fact, this is even what I told some of the banks, mm-mm, the commercial bank where I was going.
Yes.
To look for money.
So when people left for the liberation struggle,
I went to some of these commercial banks, and this commercial bank, we don't own them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not owned by black people in this country. It's from somewhere.
Yeah.
Most of them are from South Africa. So I was looking for fund.
Yeah.
And then they said, no, you don't have, we need to ensure, we want surety that our money will come back.
Yeah.
I get so fed up and I say, oh, when the founding president, the same in your mind and others, when they went for exile, their life were not insured.
Mm-hmm.
So now life is more important, the money is more important than what I wanted to start. But then I was saying it to wrong people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you see, so you have to be resilient and then all that, but I overcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that's what keeps me going. I keep on working like John Walker, keep on working.
Keep on working, yes.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is the school offering at the moment? I mean, okay, first of all, maybe you can tell us where the school is situated.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. So the company, it was formed at a CC, now it's a PTY.
Okay.
Now, the company in there, there are strategic business unit in there.
Okay.
Yeah. So there is a TVET, Technical Vocation and Education.
Okay.
We train from level 2 to level 4.
Okay.
Yeah, that is housekeeping operation, front office operation, food and beverage services, commercial cookery, skills, and there's also entrepreneurship.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Part of that other strategic business unit, we do offer commercial laundry, which is also part of the training. The student also goes through that to learn how
so
to do laundry.
So basically, I can get my clothes and bring them over there.
Yeah. Well, every day you bring it today and then you get it if business it's a bit slow. We can, there's a conference facility also which accommodate 160 people.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you can come there for a year and function a birthday and a baby shower and all that, weddings and all that.
Okay.
Yeah, part of that we have a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then there's also a bar with a liquor license to operate till 12 to 2 a.m. in the morning.
Okay.
Those are all requirements by the authority NQA and NTA for accreditation and for registration.
Okay.
In that there's also other business strategic business unit of catering hire and hire. We also do offer catering services.
Okay.
This is such a strategic in such a way that it is nurturing trainees as far as work integrated learning is concerned. Most of the trainees there, they attend classes and they also do practical or business part of the business.
Yeah.
So we are strategically positioned right in the heart of Katutura.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. If in Abraham Mashego Street from Soweto Market going to Grace Block.
Yeah.
Right at the traffic light at the center there.
Okay, before.
In the former of, I think in the building of a CCN. Church
CCN,
of,
yes, yeah. It used to be called CCN.
Church of Council of in Namibia, Council of Churches in Namibia, we are in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very strategic. I decided to to bring service to our people.
Okay.
Yeah. So you are surrounded by Marua. Marua location is there. There's Vanaheda. There's Kuriangaba. There's Komasdal. There's Vambolokasi. There's the Mara Namas, and then all the locations are there. So it's in within the proximity of walking proximity. So the trainees just they walk there. So that is where we're strategically positioned. Yes, and it offer those qualifications. At the moment, we focus more on hospitality and tourism.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the requirements of for somebody to become a student, how does that work? I mean, like, what do I need to have?
No, you need the old grade is grade 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ordinarily, you would need 18 points in grade 10 back then. Okay. Remember COVID, TVET.
Yes.
TVET is based on hand-on skills, the skills to be able to produce either a product or a services.
Yes.
We are not looking at high IQ of cognitive IQ of be able to theorize things and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So we believe anybody is able to acquire skills and all that. As long as you are able to read the recipe, the instruction, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you grade 10.
Yeah.
But also, for you to be funded by NASFAF, you need grade 11, 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But this is the standard requirement is a grade 8, I mean grade 10, grade 10, 18 points.
Mm-hmm.
So from grade 10, grade 11, grade 12, you can enroll with us.
Mm-hmm.
But for mature age and entry also, 23 years old, and you must have at least 2 years two years working experience in hospitality and tourism. Yeah, then we can add value skillfully to what you have gained already.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's also age limit.
So how does it work in terms of getting funding from the NTA and NASFAF?
Yeah.
Do the students apply through the school itself?
Yes.
So they don't have to apply directly
No. For those that have met 20 points in grade 11.
Okay.
Yeah, they can apply straight to the school,
mm-hmm.
but they apply online. Right?
Okay.
When they apply to us, then we give them, if they meet the criteria, 20 points, then the school give them an admission letter.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
After you obtain the admission letter, then you go on NASFAF
yourself.
Online. Yeah, okay. Yourself.
Okay.
You apply, you upload all that and all that.
Yeah.
NASFAF then check or assess if you have met
the requirement,
if you have 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
If you have 20 points and then you have admission letter, then NASFAF will pay.
Mm-hmm.
But for Namibia Training Authority, because Namibia Training Authority is the custodian of vocational training in the country, they then give a portion of to training provider to say, for this year, they have this much fund, they are focused on the key priority. Area occupational.
Mm.
Yeah, and then for hospitality, it's 5,000.
Yeah.
For mechatronics, this much. For plumbing, is this much.
Yes.
So then you apply.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's up to them to distribute evenly and equally to say, you're looking at your capacity as an institution.
Mm-hmm.
If you may have applied for perhaps of 100, and then they say, no. Just so that they cover all the regions in the country, so that, and they look at, I think, the population where just can region have a number of youth, so they say, no, you can get maybe 60. Mm-hmm. And then, so the youth that applied and they met the criteria, and then they are being funded by NTA. Actually, everything in the country nowadays subsidized that education.
Yeah,
everything
is
funded by the government.
If you lost your show, all of Tali Kutungupo, Oma wa o tomono, okujako NHP. Genge wa longi fire longi foli li pedu lo wa wo haku, olo halipiti kwa efiku ne fiku, mefiloshi shelo haku oe, o wa washimali wa o shosha kupako, washika wet gelwa kom to alandu lako. Kashi, koma punglo e na shano unjolo welewe, otodulu okulongi fa oma wa oe, wa hupuko, opouna miti toshiningi momikalo dihapungashi, okufuti lapo oimali wa ishona, oyo hodulu okupolwa, uli kuli futi la ove mwene, omaya kulo olu hapu, hakala ina kwa telwa, mowa we kwa folo elu unamiti. Ile, oto julu no kuli, okupitifapo e mwe didonumba, tokala ino futa ea kulo lo elu unamiti. Kowya lele uhapu, talela po nhp.com.na. Ema ngono malandola fwana ododi na okulandulwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
following show is a playback from Eagle FM podcast.
Very good evening to you all, faithful listeners of Life Lessons and faithful listeners of Eagle FM. You are tuned into Eagle FM, of course, your number one talk radio station right here. Now, I am your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and I'm here to host the Life Lessons right about this time from 1900 hours up until 2100 hours. Now, of course, the time now is 5 minutes past the hour of 1900 hours. Okay. And of course, whenever you do hear Toby Mac speak live, you should know that I'm just on a Saturday or not on any other time, just on a Saturday, right about this time. Then you should know that I'm just somewhere nearby about to pop in and keep you company for the next 2 hours. Now you can trust me. You will be safe in my care, of course, with alongside my guest. Now tonight we're joined by a very young man in studio who is a digital creator. He's a traveler, you all, and he's a humanist. And I was like, this title actually fits him quite well. And he's a qualified teacher. I'm talking about none other than Peter Sen Nyonanye. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Thank you so much for having me.
Such a pleasure to have you, hey? I must really say. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
You know, when I first stumbled upon your Facebook posts, and I saw a video that you posted the... And you're making a video in, wait, you went, it was right in your kabashu?
Yeah.
And I think you went to buy some fruits or something, and I was just like, who is this guy? Like, who is this person? Like, it's not everybody that is so, you know, social media has become all about perfectionist, you know?
Yeah.
Rather go to a friend's place or that is seeming and a beautiful wall and beautiful furniture and make it look like, you know, this is all yours. But you're just comfortable in your own environment. I mean, Peterson, okay, tell us about that. Tell us who is Peterson. Tell us about that aspect of you.
I think, to be honest, it was quite a difficult journey to begin with.
Oh, okay.
And it's not easy because you just have this, you know, questions flooding your mind, flooding your brain. What would people think?
Yeah.
What will this person think? Yeah. Okay, maybe this does not look pleasing. I will not get a certain amount of expectations that I need with my views and likes. And it's like, what is going on? Or should I do it? Should I not do it? Then I had to approach one of my mentors, and then we did self-reflection. We did a bit of knowing about yourself and what you really want. Like, if you want to start doing content creation, what do you want? Are you doing it for me? Are you doing it for people?
Okay.
And I've reflected that, no, I want to do it for me.
Yeah.
I actually want to learn on the journey. I want to be recording my journey of life to see what do I really like? What do I really get? Like, who am I there if I have to be public,
And then it just got to that point where you are completely comfortable. You couldn't care less, you know.
Like I could say, let's say 65 to 75% comfortable, because you still get areas where you're crazy. I cannot record links. Like in the mall, it's quite a bit uncomfortable because you don't know about the security policy-wise issues. But it doesn't really entirely go away. But it comes with levels of you being comfortable.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll reach a 95% one day.
Yeah. Ne?
Yeah.
No, but no. Speaking about your own environment, I mean. You're probably the type of person go to the village and be taking content of you. I want to say it in the Shuambo now, warming water there by on the three stove, you know? And that is just so wonderful. That's one aspect that really about you that really stood out for me. I was impressed with that. And I'm thumbs up to you, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
So
nice.
Thank you.
Anyway, who is Peterson? When you're talking about Peterson, who is he? Where did he grow up? How was his upbringing like, school-wise, up from, you know, maybe grade one, I don't know, and then take us through to high school, over to university.
So, who's Peterson? Honestly, I would classify myself as just a loving person, if I may be. You can't be nice until some people tell you that you're nice. It's a word to say that you can't tell yourself that you are the nicest person in the world. People must tell you that. But to be honest, I'm one of those Like, I just want to be the change that I want to see into my communities and into people. I just want to strive to see difference mm-hmm. in people's lives and in communities. That's me. Like, I want to be the change and I want to be unique. I want to be different. And yeah, with my life, I grew up in
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not pick up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Hello. Yes. We are back. Sorry, we had a bit of a technical glitch there, and it's been resolved. So we thank God for that one. Okay. So we were talking about technical and vocational training. Our guest is still in the studio. First of all, let me just give you the telephone number in case somebody wants to call in and keep us company. Sometimes you need to, you might need to call in and ask a question or contribute here and there and things like that. So we look forward to hearing from one of our listeners or many of our listeners this evening. Okay, so the number in the studio is 083-288-401. So that's the number that you should call, and then we're happy to pick up the call and engage you at least, and get some questions from you or to get some contributions.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we went on a commercial break, we were talking about technical and vocational education with Mr. Kambuta, who is the managing director for Africa Hospitality and Tourism. VTC,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Based here in Windhoek.
Yeah.
At the old CCN building.
Yeah.
Okay. So, sir.
Yes.
To pick up from where we were, how do students respond to a school like yours, and how do you want them to respond? Perhaps that's a better question. When like prospective students, just anybody who would want to come in and enroll.
No. Thank you very much for the questions. Yeah. We have social media. Is there you can reach us on the social media? There is also a website.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can find us on that. And then if any information that you put to us, we are here to host you. We'll be able to provide answers to all your questions.
Okay.
The in term of the criteria requirement and. The duration of the qualification is actually 3 years,
yeah.
3 years, and 8 months industry attachment. And then after that is a graduation. But all those informations are in the social media and the website.
Yeah.
If you're in Windhoek and you can make time to come, perhaps you need indirection physically, you can also come around.
Okay.
And engage with us. We mm-hmm. will be delighted to host you.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's a good one. How does it work in terms of if somebody maybe they come, they enroll, and then they don't have enough money to pay and they didn't get any funding? How is there any programs that you do, or
we also have short courses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which are very pivotal mm-hmm. to upskilling of a person in the area of hospitality and tourism. But by the way, we are also offering languages, Kiswahili.
Oh, okay, Kiswahili.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. Yeah. The qualification is required that you do a certain language. Others, they do foreign language and all that.
Okay.
But for us, we are very nationalist, patriotism and African, so we mm-hmm. opted for Kiswahili as as of communication. I think this 550 million in Africa, they speak Kiswahili.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's the second largest. Yeah. So we also offer that. But those that do not meet the criteria, it depends what criteria you don't meet. But for TVET, everyone should meet the criteria, especially for hospitality and tourism. There is no boundaries. If you want to teach someone, you want to upskill someone, perhaps on how to make up or clean the guest room, you don't need the criteria to meet certain criteria for that. Yeah. Perhaps even the instruction, everything can be done in your vanik, in your mother language. It does not matter in what language you are teaching, as long as the content is clear and what you want to achieve. So we do offer short courses, and then eventually that you can also use it to get a job. And once you get a job, we have a 2 years working experience, and then you have met the criteria. Yes.
Now you mentioned Kiswahili there. Are you preparing that for the Namibian market or for the market in those Kiswahili speaking countries like Tanzania?
We're preparing it for everyone. Namibia is a very attractive country. It's a beautiful country.
Yes.
Everybody comes here. Country the talent locked. They come to Namibia to seek for the beauty of our beaches and the sands and the sun. So we're preparing for that. It's interlinked, and you realize that this is Bantu language, and you speak, most people understand. It will be very surprising. So people feel good that when they come from a country that they speak the Kiswahili, Congo, they also speak Kenya, they speak.
Yeah.
And also Tanzania and many others, they speak Kiswahili.
Yeah.
And when they come in, you greet them in the Kiswahili jumbo, language. Yes, this, and they feel good. They feel that they are being recognized. You feel like you are really in Africa.
Yes.
So we do that. Correct. Yeah, and also, I think also the government has also started, I think, teaching in the schools and all that. So, we're doing it for that purpose.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I actually didn't, I haven't seen a school that teaches an African language like that.
Yeah.
I've seen most of the TVET schools, teach German, teach French.
That. Yeah.
But mostly...
It's the establishment procedure, whatever they opted to do.
Okay.
Yeah, mostly that do, such as German, it's mostly for those that are doing travel and tours. Because you are out today in the field. For us, hospitality is 80% of the qualification is hospitality. Where you are based that producing, even when you go out in the market, there you will not go much out in the field, but you are there in the establishment producing product and services.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, that is good. That is good. Okay, so Namibia has a lot of these other tribes that are categorized as marginalized. Do you have any programs there that also caters for such? Because I think there's some sort of government policy that usually wants to.
Yeah.
I remember like the other schools like Pioneer Boys School.
Yeah.
And Eros Girls School. They do a bit of vocation. They do until grade 8, right?
Yeah.
And then they do after grade 8, the learners choose vocational thing to do that like a pre-voc, pre-voc year 1 and 2, that kind of thing. And then they choose to go into the hair
hairdressers, cosmetics,
cosmetology, those type of things, and then hospitality tourism, then diesel mechanic, and those
planting,
things.
Agriculture. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So how does that work in terms of I know from those schools that there is a portion that they say that if any marginalized community child wants to enroll, they can enroll, and then they get funding or something that. Do you have a program like that?
Yeah, no, those are two groups of the people that you're talking about. The one that the kids that are doing pre-voc is to prepare them to career pathway.
Yes.
Yes, to go in the mainstream of TVET, which is a very good thing that the government is doing. So they have introduced those subjects, the pre-voc subject, so they build the concept, the fundamental understanding of a TVET. Those are trainee perhaps with a bit of a challenge when it comes to cognitive ability.
Yes.
So they should never be left out. So they then venture. And then it's amazing how what these kids can do. So practically they have been taught artisans, and then they have practical equipment that are there.
Yeah.
And then after that, they they follow that channel and they go to the TVET training providers. Based on all those trades that you have
yeah.
mentioned.
Because they like once they do year one and two, then they go to level one now.
Yes.
With NTA. Usually, and the ones who are doing teaching,
They do offer level one, you know, hospitality and tourism.
Yes.
But yet that does not equip someone to be preparedness. It does not prepare someone for the market.
Okay.
It's to have an understanding.
Okay, just the basic.
Just a basic foundation. Mm-hmm. And then from there so that when they go to training provider that offers hospitality and tourism, they are going to be comfortable and the training is going to be smooth.
Okay.
Right. But then you have those marginalized, the previous people who were left out of the mainstream of the economy, the previous disenfranchised people, most of them are the Vatswe or Vadembas, you find them all over. Yeah. The government have put that in place. And it's also enshrined in the TVET policy of 2021. It was enacted by the cabinet, I think, in the 2021 March.
Yes.
And then where it says, I think, objective three, access to TVET. So everyone must so remove the barriers.
Remove the barriers
to TVET. Marginalized does not mean inability to acquire skills. No, it does not mean that one. So those one are treated also different. The fund is there. The government is funding, NTA is funding that, NASFAF is funding that. These are very special. We have some now that NTA is funding for everything, accommodation, transport, monthly allowances, PP, everything.
That's really good.
They are out there and we work with them and the systems are in place. The subsidizes. Education is here and is reaching out to everyone. There should be no one Namibian youth in the street that cannot get access
to education. Especially if they're coming from marginalized communities.
No, it should not happen.
Okay, we're quickly going for a commercial break. So stay tuned. We are still going to be back soon.
Großartige Neuigkeiten. Imba ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben ganz neue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von Imba freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat. Oder spare noch mehr mit unserem speziellen Abonnement-Plänen. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
Todo el mundo vacilando, arriba los clones, freyando, todo el bar. de fiesta. Hoy todo el mundo se amanece, aquí nadie se acuesta. Normal se queda la familia contenta. Yo siempre velaré por ustedes, tenganlo en cuenta. Venga mi carro, los relojes y la cadena. Y ese material y esa mierda uno no se lleva. Disfruten de la vida y hagan pile cosas buenas. Siempre estaré presente cuando mi música suena.
Buena.
Welcome back, our listeners.
Sí, yo vi la que se levantaste. Okay, guys, turn off the fire and let's keep.
We are back again. We are still talking about technical and vocational education and training with our guest, who is the managing director for Africa School of Hospitality and Tourism, VTC. And we were talking, just before the commercial break, we were talking about the marginalized communities in Namibia, how they are being incorporated either by the government or and even at his school, how do they get that access to education?
Yeah.
So you can just enlighten us more about that program of marginalized people.
Yeah, no, wait, thank you very much. We are saying the marginalized. The TVET policy, as I said, it has been enshrined in the TVET policy.
Yeah.
Access to TVET, and it has removed. It has objectives on how to remove barriers to TVET, and so it incorporates everyone is included in this, and this is the tools of the government through the Ministry of the Youth, the MISAC, and implemented by NTN and it is stakeholders, all the stakeholders in the country. So this marginalized. Also incorporated quite a number of them. They were with community colleges such as COSDEC and all that.
Okay.
And a number of them they used to get funding from outside of the country, such as American and all that. And when Trump came in, he cut all this aid to Africa.
So COSDEC is also one of them that were affected by that.
Yeah, they were hugely. And they remember now you have trainees, these youth that were doing level 2 and level 3. In a different trade, and then all of a sudden, boom, the fund is cut off.
Cut off, yeah.
So where will these kids will go? So the government have to come in quickly to make sure that they don't go back in the street.
Yeah.
So it is institutions such as NTA.
Yeah.
So then NTA comes in and make funds available to all these trainees.
Mm-hmm.
So at our institution, we have quite a number of them that and they have accommodation, they have transport, they have meals. Three meals per day.
Yeah, yeah, okay,
yeah. And the transport and uniform, everything is and is being covered by the government through this institution.
Yeah.
And there's not all those ones. There are none of them that are in the street that after what happened with with that. So they are very well accommodated and. Together, I think all of the institution and TVET providers, training providers, are doing very well.
Okay.
And that to be able to upskill them and make sure that they are prepared for the market.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, the one question I have is, these marginalized communities. Okay, so the learners from the trainees from the marginalized communities.
Mm.
How serious are they with education, as far as you have seen with the ones who are at your school?
The setup of the society. Remember, these are people coming from the family who were left out from the mainstream, stream of the economy.
Yeah.
The previous disenfranchised. Quite a number of us we were, but they were those ones that were very well extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And the previous, those colonialism government have not built the school there also.
Yeah.
And the society, it's different if you're looking at someone from who grew up in a proper setup family, was nurtured very well, and they are together with them. You see the differences, and so we incorporate with them with everyone.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's a challenge, but we love the challenge.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
at the end of the day, you look at how this trainee came in the early. The beginning of the year, and then with a grace period of time, passage of time, you see how the person changed, because that's that grown. Is what learning, what is that is training is all about. The training is about the permanent change in the behavior.
Yes,
I want to repeat that it's permanent change in the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So they learned to know that this color is red, this one is black.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so and it's up to the training methodology that and you must have equipped and the instructors that are very well equipped in understanding the TVET, understanding the training methodology, and they'll be able also to put their self in the trainer's shoes and having an understand the background of this person, where the person is coming from. But mind you, this they are all Namibian, and the language is the same way we understand them. So it's not so difficult. Yes, a challenge, but it's not difficult.
Okay.
Yeah, but we're very happy that we have managed to get them in line and to become a professional. That the hospitality industry is like this. You got to be professional. You're intact with your discipline, your norms, your culture, the belief, and understand Africa, where you're coming from, what is Africa, your mom, your parent, how do you respect and how do you work with all the Namibian people?
Yes.
Yeah. So we are there. They are in course. They are proper now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. So what is your message to the parents out there? Just any parents, everyone. Whether it's for the marginalized communities or from just normal parents that we have in Ventucare, because a lot of people still want their children to just go and become a teacher, become a nurse, become a lawyer, but there is technical and vocational training.
Yeah.
And I remember, I think I watched a video from China a few years ago, where they start from childhood, when the children start crawling and they start playing with the sand and whatnot, they put them... They put them in some sort of confinement, and then they put different things in there, some technical things about computers, laptops, and you know, broken things.
Yeah.
They put bricks. They put the kids who like to build, for example, will go and start taking sand, trying to build something, or they get these other things. I don't know what they are called, but. This plastic stuff that you can stick up, stack
assemble things.
Yes, you can assemble. Yeah. The ones who like nature, they can go to a place where there is grass and start playing.
Yeah.
You know, so our people in Namibia, I think a lot of parents are still stuck in that thing of saying, no, my child can only be a professional teacher. You know, can be a lawyer, can be an accountant, but we are leaving out a lot of that of the technical and vocational training, because I look at countries like Zimbabwe, for example. Mm. You find that somebody who comes from Zimbabwe, after grade 12, that person can start doing something with their hands, and they can open a business, they can start employing others. So what is the message for our parents and the nation at large in Namibia in terms of how to take seriously technical and vocational training, and even to change our behavior from wanting every child to just become a nurse and a doctor and you know?
No, thank you very much. That is a very important question. That question has been with us a challenge for the last 5-10 years because of the background where we're coming from. If you clearly stated that back then, it was a culture that the profession that the people follow is either being a teacher, being a nurse, being all that. But I would want to make it clear to you that TVET is not for less intelligent as the narrative out there. I think that is how it was passed back then, and it is sick if we are in these days and age we are still able to think like that. I can tell you that Andreas, we are here, and everything that you see in this office, this is TVET, the mic, everything that is here, this is TVET work. These are the TVET graduate that I have produced, this equipment. Mm-hmm. So TVET is the way to go. As you clearly mentioned it, I was also at some point watching a video on social media, and we have two group of kids, some are from Africa, some are from China, age range, I think 8-9 there. And you look at the Chinese kids, they are put in a group, and this is a pre-VOC, introducing them to technical vocation and education.
Yeah.
This one is building a house, this one is putting interlock, and this little one is electronics, assembling a cell phone.
Yeah.
And then they show another video, black kids in Africa, they are in an assembly hall somewhere, and some of them are praying and trying to do this and all that.
I think I've seen that
too. Which is good. It says something about the picture. The picture paints a thousand of words.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish to put it clear now to the parents. But that narrative now it has changed. I think the minister of youth through NTA and with TVET creating awareness, TVET advocacy. Live your passion. I think they have done much there, but still a lot have to be done in creating awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Also to that TVET is important,
and
that this is TVET is the way to go. TVET is about producing a product and services. That's it. To produce the product and be able to sell it to the market.
Yeah.
Right? And if you sell the market and the domestic market, you have a surplus, then you are able to sell it outside the country. So TVET is the way. Everything, you walk in the street, buildings, even the bottle of water that you're using is TVET.
Exactly.
Yeah, the container itself is TVET. And it is, there is no, all the graduate from TVET. If they look for job here, they can look for job, but they can submit their CV online here that the Minister of Justice, Labor, while they are waiting, they are busy with something, they are producing something. Mm-hmm. If it's a mechanic, you graduate from a WVTC, there's a brother somewhere there, then they get a certificate to show that you're a professional mechanic, N1 or N2, 3. You can go and fix a car. If you're hospitality, if there's a wedding somewhere, then you are invited to go and cook. If it is agriculture, backyard agriculture, you can assist here. While you are waiting for the formal job, you don't find the TVET graduate looking for a job as such. They are self-employed.
Yeah.
They are producing something that what the market wants. So TVET is the way to go. You know
it's the lifeblood of our economy. It's supposed to be the lifeblood of our economy.
Yes, TVET is the way. Producing a product. You know what this the world is about producing.
I think I've interacted with some people from the Ministry of Education, and one of them did mention one of the directors, just that I can't remember what that is a director in the Ministry of Education, but I think it's
for Tibet
to do with quality assurance or something.
Oh,
and that man apparently is really, really serious about advocating for
Tibet. Tibet.
Yeah,
yes.
Because it helps. You see how we have a lot of unemployment in Namibia.
Yeah.
It's because our Tibet has not been given the, I think from a few years ago, we have not given it the attention it needed. Because,
yeah.
I mean, if you produce 50 students, 50 trainees who are able to graduate with a level 4, and instead of those 50 graduates going to look for a job, they just come together and say, okay, maybe 10 of us, we come together, we make, we are from Mondangwa, we make up something that does potatoes or something. You know what I mean? You know?
I things think, like that. I so think with I think the current, quite, with, the, with the current National Youth Development Fund, which it does not, it has zero collateral, lower interest loan, which is ranging from 60,000 and above 1 million. I think this is, it can go all the way. I wish to announce to, perhaps if and we need to, all of us, we need to advocate for this, that there must be a compulsory modules in all the Tibet for entrepreneurship.
That is a
there must be compulsory.
One. That is a very good one.
The economy of the country is moved by small medium enterprise.
Yes.
Small, medium enterprise. So the SMEs, those are the ones that have to be funded. You will never know what person possess. If they have innate, hidden talent in there, that this person can become an entrepreneur. I did not know also myself until my mind was opened up by education. So if we introduce it, this person would then discover this. No, I have this kid to become an entrepreneur. So being an entrepreneur is this. This is the characteristic, the attribute that I supposed to possess. But my passion is this and this and this and this. And then a way to go get a capital is it. National Youth Fund, the fund is there.
Yeah.
So then let me go. And out of 20 graduates, you must have at least 5 that are going for enterprise, being electrical, being plumbing, being painters, being agriculture.
Yeah.
And with that way, this is also another way the government will make money. These guys, they will be employed.
I think entrepreneurship is one thing that we especially in Namibia, our education system never talked about entrepreneurship.
No, yeah.
Because, I mean, even somebody who is studying to become a teacher, they should have
A knowledge.
A module.
Yes.
On entrepreneurship, even a year module.
Yes.
So that person can finish with a degree.
Yeah.
And instead of going to look for a job, they can just open a small school.
Exactly.
They start from there.
Exactly. You know? Remember, all of us, we are passionate about something. If you have that and you have a knowledge of entrepreneurship, you can start something.
Yeah.
So the economy is run by private business.
Yes.
This is how the government make it its money, tax. And you employ a lot of people. Imagine if quite a number of people are employed. Even you are getting 200 or 500 a week or something, you are going to pay, you are going to buy a recharge. Even if it's a $10 or $20.
Yeah.
In there is a 15% tax for the government.
You see.
You see that. Yeah. So the fund is there. National Youth Fund scheme is there. So, but we need to introduce a compulsory subject or a module in all the Tibet education system so that these guys are equipped with that knowledge and skills. And I guarantee you, in the next 10 years or 20 years, we'll have millionaires and billionaires in Namibian dollars.
Who are coming from the Tibet
sector. Yes, who are coming from the Tibet.
That is true.
They will cut, and they will create jobs within here in the country, and they will not have to import a lot of things. What are we importing? You know, nowadays, everything is we're importing. Even the toothpick.
Exactly. As if we're importing, have our own
and we have trees. We're in Africa. We have trees. What
that's
special, the toothpick is made out of a magical tree or what?
No, the normal tree. I mean,
so all that. So we need to introduce that in the system of education, Tibet system, and then we'll run the economy smoothly.
That is a very good one.
Yes.
Yeah. So the introduction of Tibet of entrepreneurship in Tibet, it's going to help a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, because that is the reason why other countries, you know, I listened to a story about Dubai. A few years ago, I think it was in 2019, when they were saying 2019 or 2018, yeah, one of the two years.
Yeah.
They were saying something about actually, I traveled to Dubai with a group of other business people.
Yeah.
And then they showed us a video of how it was just 50 years ago, like how Dubai was 50 years
you
ago.
You see that? Yeah. And how it is today.
Just a desert.
Yes.
With just a little building here, building there. But that is because of TVET.
Yes.
Because TVET, you know, it's they are the creators of everything.
Yeah.
So the provision of services, obviously, but the creation of buildings, you know, architecture.
Everything, tangible things. Yeah. Yes.
And then they took us to from Dubai. We took a bus to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
Abu Dhabi is another place there, another town. And it was 160 kilometers to drive.
Mm.
But that whole place from Dubai to Abu Dhabi, it's a forest with trees.
Yeah.
But because it's in the ocean.
Yeah.
It's in the desert.
Yeah, in the desert.
They actually have irrigation
system.
Done an irrigation system there.
Yes.
So all the trees, and they got some of the land from Africa to come and put so that they can.
We need our scientists. We need our academic. We need our PhD academic to do research.
Yes.
And then that findings now for who should now be put it into implementation is now as this young Namibian who should now put into these things.
Who have the technical
They are people that are architects who can draw up a plan and all that. But at the end of the day, if you have to build a bridge there, he is not the one who is going to do it. He's the graduate from TVET.
That is true.
You see that? Mm-hmm. So we TVET, and the country that is doing a lot now is Asia countries.
India,
and China is
on top.
You look at, China is amazing. In Tibet, I visited China several times, and I'm telling you, we haven't seen anything yet. We are not. The Tibet policy is here. I'm saying, let us implement the Tibet policy.
Yeah.
Everyone, the private, the NGO, state-owned enterprises, all the ministries, if I have it my way, I will make it compulsory also that every institution in this country, the government or anyone, they must have the Bible of a TVET policy.
Mm-hmm.
It's there, which is guiding us, all of us.
Yes.
That's how we should implement the TVET policy. And we shouldn't, I don't think we should only just make the government to be the only one that is assisting. Mm-hmm. No, private company must also come in.
They should come in.
Yeah,
especially the assist.
After all, the people that you are funding, these eventually they become your employees.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are some that are doing very well. I think part of seeking for talent management, talent search, they identify people and the people are funded. I'm not, but I saw it in academic level, but not at the TVET. They should go in TVET because TVET right now is the way to go because it's about producing a product and services, and this is where the economy is going.
Mm-hmm.
You see, China is now, if you look at the Chinese cars, very intelligent, smart cars.
Mm, they have even done one that doesn't need petrol, right?
You see that?
I think it takes water or something.
Yeah, and I saw this one, it goes under beneath the water for some minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And all that, the research has been done, and then we need now these young people to put all these things together.
So
if you look at the mega technology, this Chinese, what is it doing, and it's because of a TVET. So if I'm to meet Meme Shafuda nowadays, I think more money must be channeled, so the budget must go to TVET.
That is a very good one.
Yes, machine, let us buy the machine, everything, and train these people, and let us produce for the market. There's no one else who will come in to save us.
Yeah, I think we need more TVET schools than the normal schools now, because right now what we have is just a lot of schools that are doing. I mean, you look at how many schools we have for nursing.
Yeah.
You have Atlantic College, you have Eye Care, you have DXPET, you have all these different schools, which is good, which is good because they are serving their own purpose.
Yeah.
But I just feel like even us now, the people, we need to start more TVET schools so that, we need an enabling environment from the government, at least for them to start funding and doing all these things.
Once the market gets saturated in terms of like nursing, then it got saturated, and you will see, you will have quite a number of people, nurses, who don't have jobs. But as for Tibet, I think what we should do,
yeah,
we should flood the market with skilled people.
Yeah.
Tibet, skilled. Mm-hmm. Let the market can never be saturated with the Tibet graduate.
Uh-huh.
No. It cannot. You cannot say it's saturated. It's,
yeah.
We, because the more you have them in the market, in the street, the more they compete, and they produce product that are good for the consumer, that the consumer that are able to produce. As long as you understand what the market want,
mm-hmm,
yes, the market, they understand that the market sometimes dictated to them, or they do market research,
mm-hmm,
and to identify what the market want. Then they just go out there and just produce. I want to pronounce that at least by in the next 30 years, we must have 60% of the product in the shops, in our retailers, everything,
yeah,
must be locally produced.
That would be a good one.
And we can only do that if we are investing so much in the Tibet with entrepreneurship as a compulsory modules,
mm-hmm,
so that we can have more people that are producing in the market. And when you have more people producing, who is going to benefit? The government is going to benefit through,
yeah,
tax, and the consumers are going to benefit, but the price will be low,
mm-hmm,
because you have quite a number of homogeneous products in the market,
yeah,
but then they are competing in terms of the price, and the consumers are going to win.
Yeah.
There are in the north. You have someone who's manufacturing furnitures.
Mm-hmm.
You must go to all these furniture shops here. There must be our furnitures.
Yeah.
Why and do we have to import?
Yeah.
And you find some of those furnitures is leather. But you have cows. We have livestock.
We have a lot of leather. I think
so
it's
in there is Nakara, yes, yeah, it's, yeah, is wood. The furniture is made up of this. Is wood. Is mattresses and some leathers.
Yeah.
And then in the south, you have someone, you know, Kavango, you have someone producing and you know, all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our houses that are beautiful with the furniture locally manufactured.
That is really true.
This is the way to go. Woodwork, yeah, tables, a desk, all this must be produced here.
Yeah, and that will now reduce dependency.
Exactly.
On our country being dependent on countries like South Africa.
Yeah.
We have to import this, we have to import that. I mean, even for me, what is more painful is when you go in the shops and you're trying to buy fruits, just normal fruits.
Yeah.
Things are so expensive because,
yeah,
they are coming from far, you know?
But
our agriculture sector, we have the land,
yeah,
we have a bit of water. We don't,
yeah,
have too much water, but,
yeah,
we have enough water. I mean, we can,
yeah,
we can do those things. So it's part of the Tibet sector that is going to sort that out.
If we have our own manufacturing system in the country,
yeah,
we create more jobs.
That is true. I remember what was that project there in Chomise? Ramatex?
Yeah, Ramatex. You
I
see,
think we had over 6,000,
yeah,
workers.
And I'm not so sure if those, yeah, clothes were found their market here in Namibia. I think,
yeah,
they were exported. This is good for us to earn foreign currency.
Mm. But so, but you see, if you have, yeah, 6,000 people,
yeah,
employed by just,
yeah,
Ramatex,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
And then you have a good agriculture.
Yeah, in other industry again. 10, yeah, 000, yeah, you see that.
And then you have this one,
yeah,
who are producing,
yeah,
I don't know,
yeah,
something else.
Yeah.
Which is made by
hands. We also have, we will not have a brain drain that if we, the system are in place and are working very well,
yeah,
our people will not leave the country to go somewhere else.
That is true.
No, they will create the jobs here. The job, mm-hmm, will be here.
Mm-hmm.
They will be close to their family.
That is true.
And they will spend, the money will circulate in the economy.
That
and
is
this
true.
Is the focus. That this is what we're supposed to be doing. We shouldn't, mm-hmm, be importing things. Other thing, everything is just importing.
Mm-hmm.
No, it shouldn't be like that. So I'm giving out there to my fellow Namibian that in the next 20 years, 30 years,
yeah,
at least 60% of the product are consumed here and that are sold in the local market,
yeah,
must be local, domestically
produced.
Produced,
yeah.
Yes, and government, the political power, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But the system are in place. We just have to implement all those system.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So, in terms of now, your school producing these guys who are ready for the market.
Yeah.
When they have a level 4, can somebody go, let's say, find an internship in Germany or Australia,
yeah,
or another country, you know,
yes,
to be able to still do what it is that they were,
yeah,
trained to do?
Yeah, now what we do here now, as soon as a person completes level 4,
mm-hmm,
then they go out on industry attachment for 8 months.
Okay.
We are grateful to have some of our colleagues that they take stakeholders such as NWR, which is a government, which is a government entity, country club also, and mostly Gondwana.
Gondwana, okay, yes.
Gondwana Collection. They're doing a lot to absorb these guys and have work and experience. Okay. Together with many others also, they're coming on board now.
Yeah.
There's a gentleman who have that system of the youth to go have internship, to do internship in Germany.
Okay.
I think it's Mr. William Afri Young. Afri Young is the one that, he does that. He get an opportunity for I think he have a website and on the social media. If they look, they can get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so people can go. It's good to blend the local skills together with the external skills. I hate to call them international. I call them external. External skills. So that because the world is global.
Global. We live in a global village.
And if you look at the statistic nowadays with Namibia Tourism Board statistic, most tourists, yes, they come from South Africa, and then quite a number of them is from, I think it's Germany, Austria, at third or second position of a number of tourists that are coming here. And so if you have that, our trainees who have got exposure to the way and norms and the culture of the Germans, when they come here, it's going to be very smooth.
It's going to be very comfortable.
It's not only in Germany, and everywhere, Dubai, Kenya, Ghana. We must have that chain that the world is global. Our people must be equipped with all knowledge, culture, beliefs, and on how the world works, even in Spain and also in Monaco. It's quite beautiful tourism, and people are going to get internship. It's just a facilitate. We need someone to do that. But I think William is doing that with the German. And so when they come back, and then they have to go and come back.
Yeah. And that's the most important thing.
But they remember people also coming back if there is something to come back here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you cannot just get your skills and say, I'm going back home to mom, and then you just be sitting at home. They must be coming. Yeah. But again, if they are equipped with the knowledge of entrepreneurship, and they understand and where to get funded to start their business, definitely they will come back. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's just a good thing. It's really a good thing. So I think maybe the government also just needs to strengthen that part.
Yeah.
Because once the government is involved, I'm sure this Afri Young that you're talking about is probably just an individual who is doing it.
Yeah, it's just an.
But if government can come in as well and say, look, we want to assist so that our people can get in external exposure.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because really, if you have a person who has gone to Germany for eight months or for a year and they have done the internship there, they are now a bit more fluent in German.
Yeah. Yeah.
When a person like that comes to Vintu Country Club and they are working there or
in
your restaurant.
Yeah, you plow back in the community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the German tourist comes and the person greets them in
German. In terms of other trade, Germany have a very good TVET education system. They call it a dual TVET education system.
Yeah.
And I think the government, our government is through NTA,
Can
have that link with some of our guys to go and get skilled today in German, automotive so or anything. Yeah, and
implement here.
Yeah, yeah, and they come and apply back. If they go and acquire that skills, in the next 10 years, you will see some of our guys designing cars and manufacturing cars.
That is true.
Because right now we just assemble cars.
A friend of mine from Zimbabwe who is based in Namibia, he showed me a video of a Zimbabwean guy who's
manufacturing the video.
Cars.
I saw that. They showed the president, the comrade Emerson, the president of Zimbabwe. I saw them. The guy does that. His work, perhaps sometimes it's this exposure.
Yeah.
Our people must go to China. The youth must go to China, learn how to manufacture these things in Germany and all that. And then 10 years, 20 years down the line from here, we must have people manufacturing things.
Yeah. I think it should work out like how we didn't choose to have a lot of doctors, Namibian qualified doctors.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of doctors from Cuba and other countries, and they came here for years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And after the UNAM introduced
School of Medicine.
Mm. Hey,
how did that models work very well? It worked perfectly well. And you have a lot of some of our Namibian, they went to Cuba.
Yeah.
I have actually a nephew who studied in Cuba and is a medical doctor now.
Yeah.
And somebody went to Ukraine, somebody went to Russia, somebody went to Nessus, they went to Kenya, and then the School of Medicine is here. And then nowadays we have our own medical doctor. My doctor is a local doctor.
Yeah, mine
so,
too.
So that model, I said, how did we got it right? So if we can get it right in this very sophisticated profession, then we must do it in others. So we shouldn't only just focus on one model. We must at least have four models that we are trying to implement, that we try to follow. Mm-hmm. And they're looking at all the best practice in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You see, how did Malaysia, Indonesia did it? How did China did it after they gained independence from Japan, I think 75 years ago?
Yeah.
How did they do it in 75 years?
Those countries, it's just technical and vocational.
You were talking about Saudi Arabia. Yeah. How did they do it? If we manage to do it, the models of a doctor, I think we can do everything.
It's actually a very easy thing to do, because all the government needs to do is send a number of people, maybe 100 Namibians, to China, and say, okay, guys, you are going there to study. Because people are willing to go and study.
Yeah.
For 4 years or whatever, you send them to go and study. And then after they finish studying, you work with the diplomatic relations that you have in that country.
Yeah.
Then you say, okay, after they are done, can you absorb them in the job market and give them the practical skills so that they can just practice what they learned maybe for 2 years?
Yeah, but there must be monitoring and evaluation. What we do sometimes, we just send the people. There's no statistics.
Then they end up getting married.
You see that. They must sign the document, the law, to say you are going to study for this period.
Yeah.
Upon completion, you must come back.
Yes, and plow back.
In the plow back. Yes. This is what is going to be in place. Those that wish to start business, the fund will be available. And if you're giving people fund with this national youth funds available, there must be monitoring and evaluation.
Yes.
The people must have literacy in numeracy.
Yeah.
Basic accounting, trial balance, income statement, and all
those
that.
Type of things.
And there must be, if they are doing it, the fund is with this one is the Namibia Development Bank is there. Mm-hmm. So the part of Development Bank, there must be a department of monitoring and evaluation.
Yeah.
You monitor, you follow, and what is these people at? The people are doing. So we can't. I was telling other colleagues that look at the gentleman Shilongo Leather Works.
Oh yeah, the guy for the shoes, no?
Yeah, and the belts, see. Then now he's producing the shoes, is the belt, is the wallet, and then all that is all over. Yeah. And I love the logo of. So I'm saying, this man, and you must learn how Toyota started.
Exactly. Yeah.
Toyota. It was the Toyota.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And
back then, you see, there was in 1940 something, I think after the World War in America, there was Mr. Henry Ford, who came up, the first one with the Ford Rangers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was asked a very famous question to say that he can make you any car that you want as long as it's black and white. Right? Mm-hmm. He was the first one to come up with the car. And then the Japanese, they see, and they say, no, Toyota is there. And then they come. So that the Toyota, he said, no, we want to empower you, right? So that we have a product that defined us.
It's Japanese.
It's Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
We want this car to be every corner, every village in this.
In the world.
In the world.
Should have Toyota.
It should have a Toyota. Mm-hmm. And indeed today, we have a Toyota. Mm-hmm. So it's from Toyota, then the government of Japan went in there, changed it to Toyota. Young people were trained. You can produce. You can produce what cars? Toyota Hilux. Toyota what? Guy is
Toyota
there.
Lexus.
Toyota Lexus. So we must have also our product that define as Namibian. So this one in other countries, if you go to India, they have Tata in America, they have Hammer, they have what in Italy, and where they have Jaguars and Volvo in Norway, Sweden, what all those things. True. I mean, those are human beings just created by one person just like us.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then we need investors, we need the people must be trained, skillful, TVET first, then from there we will produce our own product. We must look at the models, how other countries are doing it. Asians, Malaysians, the Indonesians.
Mm-hmm.
How are they doing that?
I know that is a really, really good one.
Yeah, so it's the TVET that is doing that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, Now, I think there has been a bit of a shift in a few years from government side, shifting the attention from normal mainstream you know education to TVET. Because I mean, if you look, I've seen I think I've seen either an article or something that's talking about government moving into TVET more, like wanting to empower more people who are into TVET. And maybe even it itself establishing new VTCs and things like that.
I've learned, you know, I'm a part of all this. I was part of the TVET policy and the drafting it and all that. And the part that is we are heading, I think this is in our NDP6 is also there. That the government have it to use these artisans and these trainees that are at the TVET. If they are, even the Minister of Health, if they want to fix some of the machines and all that, you don't have it to hire. I'm not saying they should not give a tender to companies. They must give tenders to SMEs, so these young people, small business can grow. But at the same time, if they want to cut costs, they must empower these young people at TVET, because they are learning these things. And so many things, the fixing of chairs at the schools, everywhere. You don't need to have tenders
chairs. I remember a business partner of mine, a few years ago, we started a company and we were trying to do to go into the space of supplying the hospitals with beds. But when we did our research and we tried to look at all the different manufacturers or the different supply the possible suppliers for us, we could see that the cheapest place we could get those hospital beds was China.
You see that?
Yeah. So I'm just like, what happened? Like, you couldn't even get from South Africa. Now you have to the amount of money that you quote now the Ministry of Health to say, okay, they can maybe give they can buy each bed for this much. Now you have to put the transport cost. Then the timeline for the container.
You do markup, you end up your markup and
you
know.
You even need to travel to China first. You know?
And so, and most of these things, we can do that. Most of the country that produce this fabric materials is in Asia. The best thing is just to, while we're in the process of also one day to be able to produce our own fabric. So you buy the material from Asia, then we come in and manufacture, come up with a product. And these are the Namibian young people that are involved in doing these things. I think there's a school of what's the College of Art they teach?
College of Art.
It's how to make. It's a government. How to make clothes and then everything and all those things.
Fashion and fabric.
All the things they do that. And so, all other manufacturers, broken chairs, the table in the schools must not. They must use Namibian young TVET. Those are the one that you should use. And then in the return, they're also earning something. And the government, they cut cost in it. And and then if the things is maintained. It is ought to last longer. Because it's maintained. The maintenance and anything must be done by these young people. It's cost effective.
It's cost effective. Because I've seen a lot of schools, really, they don't have people to do that. So they pile up all these things, and then next year the government, they take the money again, they buy new chairs.
But those things are there. It's diabolical.
The bolts under.
No, it's diabolical. It's so insane. It's insane.
The technical and vocational education and all these graduates that we have.
But it's speaking, it's there in the TVET policy. That's what I'm saying. People should understand the TVET policy. So, and the work in the graded learning policy, I think it was enacted, launched by Dr. Ngurari, the Prime Minister, I think 2 months ago at the NIPAM. You must get young people working the graded learning. They must be doing these things. And working in the graded learning is very important. It's a part of work experience. If you have these young people that are hired by companies to work there for quite perhaps 12 months. It adds value to their CV. It adds value to their profile because it's part of, they get exposed. And again, you give them allowances monthly, 3,000 something. It's okay for someone who's a young person. right? And they earn something. Yeah. And they will have an understanding and appreciation of the work in environment and how to work with the people, how to pay social security or NAMRA if they reach the threshold of that. And then say, oh, so this is what people are doing in work. Everything you are working there, people, the culture, the establishment, the procedure, and it's very good. And someone will say, I think I will go and do after this, I'm going to start my own business. So all those policies are there. Yeah, we must just implement them, and Namibia and everyone from anywhere, all of us, we must understand those policies that are in place. They are saying Namibia have a very rich, beautiful policy. And then
but the implementation.
It can go for 5 years and you look at it, nothing happened.
Nothing has happened,
It's so because
I've heard a lot of people talking about that. Namibia gets praised for good policies. The best policies.
But what did
it
produce
in the world? But
we do not produce because it has not been implemented. So the culture, I don't know what is going on. Who is not implementing that? We must find out that what. So, but there must be monitoring evaluation. I think in the past there was not, there was no.
Yeah.
But I read in the SWAPO manifesto right now there is a monitoring and evaluation, and that is the one that become the work of the government.
Yes.
So all of us with the anyway, I'm even proposing that there must be a ministry of monitoring and evaluation.
There should be. I mean,
people, everything must be monitored, and so that we keep the lubrication the machine, and the machine must be moving.
Yeah, because without monitoring and evaluation, you can't find out how far you have come.
Yes,
you can't find out where you have gone wrong.
Yeah, what were the challenges?
Yeah, the challenges and all that.
And how do you navigate and mitigate these challenges?
Yes.
Okay,
our listeners, it's been great being with you again. I just want to give the number again. Our number in the studio is 083-288-401. 083-288-401. So you are welcome to give us a ring, and we'll be happy to hear your contribution or to answer any questions that you might have, if it's within the scope of what we are doing. Okay, so Mr. Kambuta, I wanted to find out how many learners, maybe in total, if you have the figure at your hand.
Yes, it's quite. We have the capacity per year of 130 students.
130.
Per year. And we, as I said, that my earlier introduction, we started in 2016.
Yeah.
And but officially 2018. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then our first graduate came after 2-4 years down the line.
Yeah.
So far, if you take the passage of time and the grace period that we have produced, we have done quite good for the market. If you go to all the establishment, hospitality establishment in the country, you find all our students, our trainees went to our school. They are there, every corner of this country.
Yeah.
You find together with all others that. Which have gone through the system of hospitality training.
Yeah.
I can't give you the figure, but we have a statistic.
Okay.
Yeah, we do have a statistic, and we monitor. We know how many are employed at Country Club. We know how many are employed at at an ANWR.
Mm-hmm.
How many are employed at Gondwana or others establishment, and how many are doing. Internship, industry attachment. We have such a statistic.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but we have done well, and I have not seen quite a number of them that are unemployed. They move from one department, from one establishment to another, so, and then they stay for 1 month without, and then, but especially when the market demand like as it is right now, it's a peak season for tourism.
Yes.
Yeah. Now it's from July, August, September, October.
Yes.
Yeah, most of our hospital establishment that is fully occupancy.
Yes, and then
with that, it demands a lot of labor force.
Mm-hmm.
So most young people are now hired for that period and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yes, hospitality and tourism is a seasonality industry.
Yeah.
But at the time, when the market is slow for that period, then you have other domestic people also. Our people are also now traveling a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it also depends based on the income disposal and how much they can save and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so a lot. We have quite a number of our trainees that are graduating and they're out. There is 1,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
More than a thousand. Okay.
Yeah, more than a thousand. That's a good number. That. Yeah,
that's
you can
a good
say
number.
That. Yeah.
So what makes your school unique?
Look, for us, we don't compete.
Okay. That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
No, we don't compete.
Compete with yourself, not with others.
No, we identified in an uncontested market.
Yeah.
And then we make the competitor unseenable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We identify the contested market.
Yeah.
Then we make the competition irrelevant.
Yeah, that is a good thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I can repeat, we make we go in the market which has never been content. There was no content. And then when you get in there,
yeah,
we make that competitor irrelevant. Mm-hmm. But again, is we do that driven by the passion,
mm-hmm,
love,
yeah,
energy,
mm-hmm,
resilient.
Yes.
And we teach from the heart, mm-hmm, and knowledge, experience that we have acquired passage of time, many good years of, mm-hmm, working. I started working a long time from cleaning the floor, the public toilet,
yeah,
in the kitchen, the sculleries, and all the department of the hospitality
industry.
I've done that, and I've passed this on to my people, fellow Namibian.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud, very, mm-hmm, proud, and it touches me that you have produced these people. And the companies, actually, they send us a communication that we are looking for this number of people. We are looking for, do you have some?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
that is testimony to,
yeah, yeah,
that the quality of work,
yeah,
that you're producing is really high.
The quality. And also I think the qualification that we have at our disposal of a TVET.
Yeah.
I'm also part of the technical working group of NT, and we review the qualification now and then.
Okay.
So that it speaks to the market.
Does that happen every 3 years or something?
Sorry?
Does that happen every 3 years?
Every after 3 years, every after 5 years. Okay. 3 years, yeah.
Yeah.
It's heavy to happen not such a long period because the market evolved.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
You got to do that so that it speaks to the market. Mm-hmm. So every now and then you meet, you panel beat the qualification.
Yeah.
But it's all dependent on how you implement. It's the training methodology.
Yeah.
We can all have degrees.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right, but if you cannot train, you don't understand, you don't love, you, mm-hmm, you are not passionate. You want, yeah, to see one Namibian one day,
yeah,
that training owning a coffee shop in town, that and you are going good to sit there for business, and you say, no, this coffee shop is for Dahafa, is for Maureen,
mm-hmm,
is for Tembi. And he's graduated from Tibet, the, mm-hmm, African Hospital and Tourism, VTC.
Yeah.
If you train with that mindset, then you produce a quality product. That quality product is the trainee that you are sending out there in the,
yes,
in the market. Mm-hmm. And so you train these guys so that they can take over the industry.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, the same as in South Africa, hospitality and tourism industry, if it's not 80% is not in our hand. 80% of the industry is in the hand of those that are previously advantaged, those people. So we got to, and you don't need someone to have a PhD or master degree to own a lodge.
That is true. That is true.
No, or to have a five-star lodge, a five-star hotel.
That is true.
Or to own a laundry.
Mm.
Where a private laundry where you, that Andreas, you can take, you say, no, my wife today, no, you're not washing at home.
Let's take you to the laundry.
You don't need someone with, not even with a degree. It's a TVET qualification.
Just the skills, yeah.
Yeah. So we need to do this so that we own all this SME. And one day, as I said before, if we do that, for the next 10, 20 years from now on, we'll have millionaires, we'll have billionaires in Namibian dollars.
Who are coming from the TVET.
Who are coming from the TVET.
That's a very good one.
So I think with that, I think that is what set us apart from others.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how the others, they train, but we know us.
Okay.
That we train from love or passion, mm-hmm, and we don't compete.
Mm-hmm. That is a good one.
No.
Okay, so we have about 4 minutes left.
Okay.
Before our program ends. Mm. So I just want to just share some messages.
Yeah.
Maybe a message to government, a message to the young person out there who is looking to do, a message to anybody, to the members of parliament who are the ones passing the bills and things like that.
Exactly.
Yes.
To the young people, those who have a passionate that want to do TVET, not only in hospitality, also in any other trade, plumbing, electrical, agriculture. Mm-hmm. The subsidized education is here. Others, they call it free education, but it's a subsidized.
Yes.
Go out there, do your TVET, get your skills, get your qualification, and then start your own business. The mm-hmm. funds are there. They're everywhere. The funds are there. So mm-hmm. let's go out there.
Yeah.
The policymakers,
mm-hmm.
right? There are some people who say, no, when we're in exile, this thing is not happen. In our days, this thing is not happen. Yes, it's good that you are aware
mm-hmm.
that this thing is not happen.
Yeah.
The injustice which was perpetrated in you should not be perpetrated to the next person. You do good deeds to the other person, right? Because you are not going to be there. Your kids are going to be there. And if you're not preparing this kid for the future, your own kids are going to suffer.
Yeah.
Right. So let us help the youth that are out there. If anyone have dreams and want this, his or her want the dreams to come a reality.
Yes.
Let's open up the door and assist them mm-hmm. where they can go. We need to have an environment where people must have knowledge,
mm-hmm.
understand where can I get this thing. Let's be competitive. Knowledgeable compete. In Namibia, there is a culture where they keep information to themselves. You don't want the other people to know.
Yeah.
Why? You have the information, but you are not doing it, doing anything with it.
Yeah.
Mm. Pass on the information to that Namibian, to that girl, to that boy there. You don't know what that person possesses. The policymaker, let us make a policy that are aligned to the manufacturing, that are aligned to the empowerment of the youth, that are seeing the country in the next 10, 20 to 30 years from now, that the black people in this country own the means of a production. And that is what it means. The means of the production for the economy. We must. Mm. Black economic empowerment, near equitable economic, near is there.
Yeah.
Youth empowerment, all this. People, the directors, everyone, implement. You are put in there in the position. In fact, you are elected by Namibian people to implement these things.
Yes.
Do not think to say, no, if I do this, he's going to win, and then I'm just going to be still here as a civil servant. No, if you don't want it, then leave.
That is true.
The civil servant position and go and start your business.
That is true.
So, but you are there to help the economy to move on.
Yeah.
And it's been advocated by everyone that let us help the youth, empower the youth. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, sir, for coming.
Thank you.
We can have a part two of this one.
No, sure, no problem.
We have not.
Now we have time. I have time. I'm home.
Okay, so thank you, sir. Thank you so much for coming, for being with us as a guest, and I want to thank our listeners as well for being part of our show tonight.
Thank you for inviting me.
So all the best of Godspeed. We shall be meeting again next Saturday, same time.
All the best with your esteemed studio.
Thank you, sir.
And all the best to your listeners.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Good luck.
Okay, good night, sir.
Mm.
Bye.